हरे कृष्ण। सो वी कवर्ड 14 वर्सेस इन दिस चैप्टर, वील स्टार्ट फ्रॉम 15। अतस्तम ऋषि मुखेभ्यो यथाशीलम यथारुचि आत्मजाह परिदेह्यद्य विस्तृणीहि यशो भुवि।
Therefore, today, please give away your daughters to the foremost of sages with due regard for the girls' temperaments and likings, and thereby spread your fame all over the universe.
So, today, please give away your daughters to all the sages. So, Brahmaji is telling Kardama Muni to get his daughters married. Prabhupada, in this purport, describes the compatibility factor in marriages. So there are 9 principal rishis here: Marichi, Atri, Angira, Pulastya, Pulaha, Kratu, Bhrugu, Vasishta and Atharva. So all these are great sages. So they should be marrying these 9 daughters of Kardama. And what kind of factor should be considered for that marriage? Yathashilam yatharuchi. See the second line. Yathashilam yatharuchi. Based on their characteristics and taste. Right? The daughters should be handed over to respective sages, not blindly. The matching has to be done properly according to character and taste. Yathashilam and yatharuchi. So man and woman should not be united simply based on sex considerations, but character and taste. So in the Vedic days, even about 40 years ago, in Indian marriages, taste and character of the boy and girl were first matched. Then they were allowed to marry. So there are some astrological calculations also. They see nakshatra, rasi, and they also see gana, deva gana, then rakshasa gana, there is manushya gana, like that there are ganas. So based on all that qualities and matchings, couple gets married, right? So these are certain Vedic considerations. Next, 16th verse. Vedahamadyam purusham avatirnam swamayaya bhutanam sve sevadhim deham bibhranam kapilam mune.
O Kardama, I know that the original Supreme Personality of Godhead has now appeared as an incarnation by His internal energy. He is the bestower of all desired by the living entities, and He has now assumed the body of Kapila Muni.
So Kardama Muni and Devahuti, they had 10 children, 9 daughters and 1 son. So 9 daughters should get married to 9 sages. So that is done. So what will happen to Kapila Muni? So he says he appeared as an incarnation by swamayaya, by his internal potency. Avatirnam swamayaya. Prabhupada elaborates on this, that the Lord appears by his internal potency. His appearance is never because of his material energy. Spiritual world is a manifestation of his personal internal potency, whereas material world is a manifestation of his external potency, differentiated energy. So whenever the Supreme Lord descends, He descends by His internal potency, and unintelligent people or less intelligent people will misunderstand Lord's appearance to be equal to the appearance of any ordinary living entity. Avajananti mam modha manushim tanum ashritam. So, param bhava majananto mamabhuta maheshwaram. So, Prabhupada writes that here. Modhas consider the body of Krishna to be the body of a common human being. Because He is the bestower of the necessities of all others, He is called God. So God bestows all necessities. He is the creator, He is the maintainer, and He is the destroyer. And in the capacity of maintaining this whole world, He bestows everybody's necessities. Jnana vijnana yogena karmanam uddharanjataham hiranyakeshah padmakshah Padma Mudra Padambujaham ज्ञान विज्ञान योगेन कर्मणाम उद्धरं जटाः हिरण्यकेशः पद्माक्षः पद्ममुद्रापदाम्बुजः.
By mystic yoga and the practical application of knowledge from the scriptures, Kapila Muni, who is characterized by his golden hair, his eyes just like lotus petals, and his lotus feet, which bear the marks of lotus flowers, will uproot the deep-rooted desire for work in this material world.
So, jnana vijnana yogena. So, Kapila Dev, Lord Kapila, will enunciate this Sankhya Yoga, which is filled with jnana and vijnana. So, according to Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, this jnana means knowledge of God without form. Vijnana means knowledge of God with form. Right? So both are there. So jnanis are generally aspiring for impersonal Brahman. When we say jnana is basically knowledge, but in general jnana is used to denote that knowledge which will give impersonalistic destination, right? So that kind of jnana is not suitable for bhakti. Jnana karmadi anavartam means that jnana which is devoid of Lord's attributes. That jnana which is devoid of Lord's personal attributes, his form, his name, his entourage, etc. So that jnana is not conducive for pure devotional service. But knowledge about Krishna's qualities and pastimes, that is very much involved in devotional service. So when we say jnana karma dhyanartham, that is the thing. So Kapil Dev has both jnana vijnana yogena. He speaks both things. So karmanam uddharan jataha. So karma is all these activities, material activities. So uddharan jataha. Jata is roots. So Lord Kapila will uproot the desire for fruitive activity in the living entities. He will uproot the deep-rooted desire for work in this material world by enunciating his philosophy. Right, very important line. So Kapila Dev's contribution is explained by Brahmaji very wonderfully in this verse. Karmanam uddharan jataha. So Lord will uproot. So here Prabhupada says, a man tries to be happy by achieving the fruits of his own honest labor, but actually he becomes more and more entangled by enjoying the fruits of his activities. One cannot get out of this entanglement unless he has perfect knowledge or devotional service. So perfect knowledge is knowledge with devotional service. Knowledge devoid of devotional service is not perfect knowledge. Right? So only by that knowledge, which is spoken by Kapila, one can uproot the deep-rooted desire. So when we have the knowledge of devotional service, we perform worship of the lotus feet of the Lord. We serve his lotus feet. Then by dint of that lotus feet, one can uproot the deep-rooted material desires. Even in this Kumara's teachings to Prithu Maharaj, this beautiful verse comes. Yat pada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya karmashayam grathitam udgrathayanti santaha tadvanna rikta matayo yatayo apiruddha shroto ganastamaranam bhajavasudevam. Yat pada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya. If one surrenders to the lotus petal-like feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with devotion, karmashayam grathitam udgrathayanti santaha. By dint of their surrender to Lord's lotus feet, they can uproot the aspirations for fruitive work. Karmashayam, same thing is mentioned here. Karmanam uddharan jataha. Karmashayam udgrathayanti. They can uproot the deep-rooted karmashaya, santas, devotees. On the other hand, tadvanna riktamatayo yatayopi ruddha. Riktamatayo means those who are devoid of devotional service. So those people yatayopi, even if they endeavor to their best, shroto ganastamaranam bhajavasudevam. They can't even control their senses. Shroto ganastamaranam, that is also difficult. So bhajavasudevam. You should worship the lotus feet of the Lord Vasudeva only. So only that way we can uproot the deep-rooted material desires. Otherwise it is very difficult. any process which is devoid of devotional service to the Lord, Rikta Matayo, cannot help one to cross over this material world. So, Prabhupada writes, Jnana does not refer to ordinary research work. Jnana entails receiving knowledge from scriptures through the spiritual master by disciplic succession. Right? So, for such a person, Lord will completely relieve him from material bondage. Yeah. Another beautiful verse comes in the Gajendra's prayers. Madrik prapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya muktaya bhuri karunaya namolayaya swamsena sarvata nubhran manasi pratita pratyagdrishe bhagavate brihate namaste. Madrik prapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya. So Prabhupada writes there that everybody is like a pashu only in this material world. All conditioned souls are like animals. 8th canto, 3rd chapter, 16th verse. So, madruk prapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya. So, because the Lord is ever liberated, He is never entangled, He can cut the bondage of people, right? People who are animalistic in this material world are bound by their fruitive activity. Lord can immediately relieve them from that bondage. Madruk prapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya. Pashupasha. Pashus are tied up with ropes. So muktaya, because Lord Himself is liberated. Bhuri karunaya, out of His great mercy, Lord will relieve them. So muktaya bhuri karunaya namo alayaya. Alayaya means the Supreme Lord is never inattentive to the needs of His devotees. He is always alert. What will these souls need? So let me go and enlighten them. So madruk prapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya muktaya bhuri karunaya namo alayaya swamsena sarvatanubhran manasi pratita pratyak drishe bhagavate brihate namaste. Swamsena, by His own incarnation, Lord will appear. Sarvatanubhran manasi pratita, He appears in the bodies of every living entity, right, as super soul, right. Pratyak drishe bhagavate brihate namaste, He witnesses everybody's actions, and He is Brihate Bhagavate. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Right? Namaste, I offer obeisances. So Lord, like that, He relieves one from this material bondage. Here Kapiladev is also incarnating to relieve people from this deep-rooted desire for fruitive work. Unless one has perfect knowledge from disciplic succession, he simply puts forth some theories of his own creation. Therefore, he is cheating people. So knowledge has to come from disciplic succession. So otherwise it is entangling. Jnana means knowledge received through disciplic succession from the scriptures, and Vijnana means practical application of such knowledge. Kapila does both. Next, 18th verse. Yeshamanavite garbham pravishtaha kitabardhanaha कैटबार्दनः अविद्या संशय ग्रंथिं छित्वा गाम विचरिष्यति.
Lord Brahma then told Devahuti, my dear daughter of Manu, the same Supreme Personality of Godhead who killed the demon Kaitava is now within your womb. He will cut off all the knots of your ignorance and doubt. Then He will travel all over the world.
So Lord Brahma is now speaking to Devahuti. O Manavi, daughter of Manu, that same Supreme Personality of Godhead who is going to cut the karmic knots of people, He is there. He has entered your womb. Pravishtaha Kaitabardhanaha. He is the enemy of Kaitaba. Then Avidya Samsaya Granthim. So He will cut off the knots of your ignorance and doubt. Avidya is ignorance. Samsaya is doubt. Granthi is knot. So Lord descends to cut the knot of ignorance and doubt. So He will cut the knot. So what is this? He will cut the knot of the heart made of ignorance about one's Swarupa. Right? And this false knowledge, which is Samsaya. Samsaya is doubt. Samsaya can also mean false knowledge. And ignorance is basically about one's own Swarupa. What exactly is my identity? Jivera Swarupa hai Krishna Nityadas. That is the actual understanding of the Swarupa of Jiva. But in this material world, Jiva is understanding himself as so many things, except that original Swarup of Krishna Das. Even people who enter the process of devotional service, they also sometimes forget their original identity. So that's the reason why we have to regularly study the scripture and hear scriptural discourses, where we are constantly reminded of our original Swarupa. What exactly is our Swarupa? This is servant. Being the servant of Krishna is one's own Swarupa. The innate service attitude of the living entity is the actual wealth of the Jiva. Right? So that one is reminded of if he constantly hears. So Lord Kapila is descending to cut off this avidya of one's Swarupa and samsaya about Lord's identity and other things. Right? Avidya samsaya granthim chitva agam vicharishyati. In Putumara's verse, one beautiful verse comes where it is said, sa uttama sloka mahan mukhachito bhavat padam bhoja sudha kananila smritim punar vismrita tattva vartmanam kuyogi namno vitaratyalam varaihi. So when a person hears from great devotees, sa uttama sloka mahan mukhachito. Uttama sloka means the Supreme Lord. So people who are dedicated to the Supreme Lord, when they speak about the Supreme Lord, their speeches will carry the saffron dust particles of the lotus feet of the Lord, who stays in their hearts. When someone comes in contact with those saffron dust particles emanating from the mouths of pure devotees, then smritim punar vismrita tattva vartmanam. Smritim means one's remembrance of one's own constitutional position. Swarupa is revived. Right? That ignorance is gone. Avidya is gone. Avidya of Swarupa is gone. One will revive his remembrance. Smritim punar vismrita tattva. Vismrita tattva means he has forgotten what is his tattva. What is his Swarupa? I am servant of Krishna. That point he has forgotten. Smritim punar vismrita tattva vartmanam kuyogi namno vitaratyalam varaihi. So Prabhupada says, avidya means forgetfulness of one's real identity. Samshaya granthi is doubtfulness. And this knot, granthi, is also called ahankara. Sometime back we were discussing the junction of matter and spirit. The word samshaya means doubtful knowledge or false knowledge. Speculative and pseudo-yogic knowledge is all doubtful. So many systems of knowledge will not present the actual truth of the soul and the Supreme Lord. They are filled with so many doubts and speculations and false propositions. So Lord will come and cut all of them. Lord will defeat all of them. That's why he is called avidya samshaya granthim chitva. Just become Krishna conscious. Just worship Krishna and become a devotee of Krishna. Basically Prabhupada is saying manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyajivam namaskuru. That is real knowledge. And anyone who follows that system becomes perfect without a doubt. So the actual knowledge is surrendering to Krishna and becoming Krishna conscious. 19th verse. Ayam siddha ganadhishah sankhyacharyaihi susammatah loke kapila ityakhyam gantate kirti vardhanah.
Your son will be the head of all perfected souls. He will be approved by the acharyas, expert in disseminating real knowledge. And among the people, he will be celebrated by the name Kapila. As the son of Devahuti, he will increase your fame.
As he will be called as son of Devahuti. Devahuti Sota Kapila. That means Devahuti will be popularized. Devahuti's fame will increase because she is the mother of Kapila. So when a glorious son is there, the entire dynasty is glorified. His parents are glorified. So that's why several times it is mentioned, Kirti Vardhanaha. He will increase your fame. The other Kapila, who is not the son of Devahuti, is an imitation. So here, this is mentioned by Brahmaji. The word Susammata means accepted by persons who are counted upon to give their good opinion. So when we consider, say, reviews or likes will come, right, on the internet. Likes or reviews, fans, followers, right? These are all various terminologies used. Basically, to say that how many people approve what I think or what I post. Right? So Prabhupada says, Susammata means accepted by persons who are counted upon to give their good opinion. Most opinions in this material world are not valid. Only great devotees are supposed to or authorized to give their opinion, and only their opinions are supposed to be considered as valid. Out of 1,000 likes or followers, how many of them are bona fide, we have to actually check. Right? Bhagavatam standard is different. Bhagavatam in the beginning, first kind of 5th chapter. Nayadvachaschitra padam harer yasho jagat pavitram pragrinita karhichit tadvayasam tirtham ushanti manasaha na yatra hamsa niramantyu sikshayaha. So materialistic mundane literatures are only relished by crow-like people. Hamsas will not take pleasure in them. So materialistic mundane literatures may get so many hits and so many likes, so many visits, viewership is more. There could be, you know, 1,000 views or 1 lakh views or 10 lakh views or maybe 1 crore views, whatever. But crows taking pleasure is what is mentioned. But if hamsas are taking pleasure, that post is worth seeing. Right? Nayatra hamsa niramantyu sikshayaha. On the other hand, literatures which are not even perfectly composed also, if they are glorifying Krishna, sadhus will give their reviews there. They will put their like there. Right? So susammata, that's what susammata means. Sadhavadopa brumhitaha. Even great sadhus also adore this discussion by this Vidura and Maitreya. Right? So a discussion or any object is worth considering glorious only when sadhus approve it.
So many times this other Kapila has been mentioned. Who is that other Kapila?
He propounded some godless philosophy. That's all I know. I don't know what their elaborate.
When he was born?
I also came to know only from Prabhupada's purports. Several times he is condemned, but I don't know what exactly is his philosophy and all that. So next, Brahmaji leaves. That is described from 20th verse. Maitreya uvacha.
Maitreya uvacha.
Tavashvasya jagat srashta. Kumarehi sahanaradaha. Hamso hamsena yanena. Tridhama paramam yayau.
Sri Maitreya said, after thus speaking to Kardamuni and his wife Devahuti, Lord Brahma, the creator of the universe, who is also known as Hamsa, went back to the highest of the three planetary systems on his swan carrier with the four Kumaras and Narada.
Hamso hamsena yanena. Hamsa is Brahma. Hamsena yanena means he has a Hamsa carrier. Just like there is Pushpaka chariot. Gandharvas have their own chariots. So Brahmaji has his chariot. Chariot-like thing, carrier called swan. Hamsayana yanena. So Prabhupada says Hamsayana is airplane in which Brahma travels over the outer space. So Tridhama paramam yayo. After saying this much to Kardama and Devahuti, so basically Brahmaji came at the time of appearance of Kapila. He appreciated Kardamuni's service. He glorified, this is how a disciple should serve his guru or a son should serve his father. And he glorified Devahuti also, that she is going to be the mother of Kapila. And what Kapila is going to do, his future activities Brahmaji predicted. After that, now he is leaving in his Hamsayana. And accompanying Brahma are these other sons of Brahma, who are Kumaras, four Kumaras and Narada. You can see that painting in Bhagavatam book, yeah, this painting. So Brahmaji's swan carrier is there, Narada is there, four Kumaras are there. Kardama, Devahuti and the nine daughters are also there. So this is how it is depicted. So Tridhama Paramam, he went to an abode which is beyond the three upper planetary systems, beyond even Sarga also. So Brahmaji's abode is the topmost abode in this universe. He returned to his own planet with four Kumaras and Narada. He just instructed Kardamuni to get his daughters married to these nine sages, depending on yatha shilam, yatha ruchi. But he did not personally was there, he was not there for marriage. Right? So And even four Kumaras also did not attend the marriage. And Narada Muni also did not attend the marriage. So Prabhupada says, they were not to attend the marriage ceremony of their brothers, other brothers, because Marichi and other sages, because they went back with their father Hamsa, because they are brahmacharis, naishtika brahmacharis, they did not want to attend this marriage ceremony. Next, 21st verse. Gate shata dhritau kshattaha kardamastena choditaha yathoditam svaduhitra pradad vishvasrujam tataha.
O Vidura, after the departure of Brahma, Kardama Muni, having been ordered by Brahma, handed over his 9 daughters as instructed to the 9 great sages who created the population of the world.
Marichaye kalam pradad anasuyam athartrayem shraddham angirase yachat pulastyayah virbhuvam pulahayagatim yuktam kratavecha kriyam satim khyatim cha bhagavate yachat vashishtaya pyarundhatim.
Kardama Muni handed over his daughter Kala to Marichi and another daughter Anasuya to Atri. He delivered Shraddha to Angira, Havirbu to Pulastya. He delivered Gati to Pulaha, the chaste Kriya to Kratu, Khyati to Vrugu, and Arundhati to Vashishtha.
Next translation you can read.
He delivered Shanti to Atharva. Because of Shanti, sacrificial ceremonies are well performed. Thus he got the foremost Brahmanas married and he maintained them along with their wives.
Tatastarashayashattaha kritadara nimantriyatam pratishthan nandim apannah svam svam ashrama mandalam.
Thus married, the sages took leave of Kardama and departed full of joy, each for his own hermitage, O Vidura.
So marriages happened. So who married whom is also mentioned in the last few verses. Now, the daughters went along with their husbands. Kardama Muni finished his household duties. He had 9 daughters and 1 son. He got 9 daughters married. And son is there to take care of a wife. And he's about to renounce now. So that is the main subject matter of this chapter. 26th verse onwards. So before taking to the renounced order of life, he wanted to take permission from his glorious son Kapila, who is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he offers prayers in the next 8-9 verses.
Sachavatirnam triyugam agnaya vibudarshavam vivikta upasangamya pranamya samabhashata.
When Kardama Muni understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the chief of all demigods, Vishnu, had descended, Kardama approached him in a secluded place, offered obeisances and spoke as follows.
So Kardama Muni started speaking to Kapila. Prabhupada focuses on the word Triyuga. Sachavatiranam Triyugam. Lord is sometimes called as Triyugam because he appears in three yugas. Although in the fourth yuga he appears, that is Channavatar, that is covered incarnation. He does not exhibit himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he comes in the garb of a devotee. That's why he is called Triyuga. So, however, he cannot cover his identity in front of a devotee. When Rupa Goswami came in front of Lord Chaitanya, he immediately identified, oh, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He glorified him. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prima Pradayate. So that is the meaning of the word Triyuga. Even Prahlad Maharaj also glorifies the Lord as Triyuga. Also, Triyuga can mean another, it has another explanation. Triyuga means
He is the lord of three pairs of opulences. Prabhupada writes all that. Namely, power and affluence, piety and renown, and wisdom and dispassion. According to Sridhar Swami, Triyuga can also mean, Lord is complete in three pairs of opulences, riches and strength, fame and beauty, wisdom and renunciation. So that's why Lord is called Triyuga. So 27th verse onwards, we see his prayers.
Ahopapachyamananam
Niraye Svairamangalaihi Kalena Bhuyasanunam Prasidantiha Devataha.
Kardamuni said, Oh, after a long time, the demigods of this universe have become pleased with the suffering souls who are in material entanglement because of their own misdeeds.
So according to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, these three verses are 27, 28, 29. These three verses are speaking about three kinds of practitioners. One, karmis. There are three kinds of worshippers. First category is worshippers of demigods, karmis. Second category is worshippers of Brahman, jnanis. Third category is worshippers of the Supreme Lord, bhaktas. So 27th verse is speaking about demigods. After a long time, the demigods of this universe have become pleased. Now there is another explanation for this verse. Prabhupada says, demigods are pleased with the suffering souls who are in material entanglement because of their own misdeeds. The living entities in this world are suffering not because suffering is imposed or forced upon them. They are suffering only because they deserve to suffer like that because of their own misdeeds. Atho papachyamananam. So papachyamananam means those who are very much afflicted. Niraye, in hellish entanglement. Svair amangalaihi. Svair amangalaihi means their own misdeeds. They have done inauspicious activities. Because of their performance, they are becoming entangled. Kalena bhuyasanonam prasidantiha devataha. Demigods have become very pleased with them. Right? So Prabhupada says, when the demigods become distressed by the sufferings of the conditioned souls, they approach the Lord to remedy the suffering and the personality of Godhead descends. So when the reason for Lord's descent is also when demigods offer prayers. Right? Next. Another point here Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur highlights is Lord took birth in the house of Kardama Muni not because of his qualification. Means Kardama Muni says like this, My dear Lord, you have taken birth in my house not because of my qualification, but only because of your mercy. Your mercy is the reason for your descent. Like that. So now this is about demigods. 28th verse.
Bahujanma vipakvena samyag yoga samadhina drashtum yatante yatata yatayaha sunyagareshu yatpadam.
After many births, mature yogis, by complete trance in yoga, endeavor in secluded places to see the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So some important things are mentioned about yoga, Prabhupada says. Unless one comes to the point of bhakti yoga or surrender to the Lord, one's yoga practice is not complete. Bahujanma vipakvena. After mature yoga practice for many births, samyag yoga samadhina, one can enter this trance of yoga. And drashtum yajante yajadeha. Suyagneshu yatpadam. Sunya gareshu yatpadam. They will be able to see the lotus feet of the Lord only after mature practice of yoga for several births. Bhunam janmanamante jnanavan mam prabuddhate. So, and that too in secluded places. That also is mentioned. Sunya agareshu means secluded places. Prabhupada says yoga is not meant to be performed in public places like a public park or city. Yoga is meant to be performed in the secluded places traditionally. But as Prabhupada often says, yoga this kind of mystic yoga is not meant for Kali Yuga people. Meditating for thousands of years is not there in the system of Kali Yuga people. They just have to perform bhakti yoga by chanting Hare Krishna. So yoga practice is considered successful only when they get the darshan of the Lord.
Sa eva bhagavan adya helanam naganayyanaha griheshu jato gramyanam yasvanam pakshaposhanaha.
Not considering the negligence of ordinary householders like us, that very same Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in our homes just to support His devotees.
So not considering our negligence. Helanam na ganayyanaha. Helanam means negligence. So Lord does not consider our negligence. Out of His humility, Kardamuni is saying that our worship of the Supreme Lord is not very attentive, not up to the mark. Still, Lord is merciful enough to descend in my house. Sa eva bhagavan adya helanam na ganayyanaha griheshu jato gramyanam yasvanam pakshaposhanaha. So, that very same Lord appears in our home just to support His devotees. Pakshaposhanaha. And svanam. Svanam means devotees. Pakshaposhanam means supporting one's own party. These are in my paksha, I have to support them. So, although their practice is not sufficient, although they may be, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that Kardamuni was considering himself lazy in his practice, right? Still the Lord appeared. That means He appeared only out of His mercy, not because of my practice. This is the attitude of a devotee. Devotees are so affectionate towards the Supreme Lord that although He does not appear before those who practice yoga in a secluded place, even for many births, as described in 28th verse, He agrees to appear in a householder's home where devotees engage in devotional service without material yoga practice. So 28th verse and 29th verse is like long contrast. So 28th verse says, Bahujanma vipakvena, mature yoga practice for many births, they will be able to see only the lotus feet of the Lord in their heart. Right? That is what they deserve. But here, although it is not a pakva yoga, still, because they perform devotional service, although they are doing so many other household duties in their house, still the Lord appears in their house. So what can be said of your mercy? So Kardamuni is giving all credit to the Supreme Lord's mercy. He is not taking any credit for His own practice, although He practiced for 10,000 years. Devotional service is such a powerful transcendental method that it surpasses all other methods of transcendental realization. Vedeshu yagneshu tapasu chaiva daneshu yat punya falapratishtam atyeti tat sarvam idam vidhitva yogi param sthanam upaiti chadyam. Whatever one gets by following all the other transcendental processes, one can get by practicing bhakti yoga also, and he will get much more than what he gets by other processes. So Prabhupada, here he says, Lord lives neither in Vaikuntha nor in the heart of yogi. He lives where His devotees are performing devotional service. Naham tishtami vaikunthe sadhunam hrudayeshuva. So yatra gayanti madbhakta tatra tishtami narada. Wherever my devotees are glorifying me, I stay there. I don't stay in the hearts of yogis, although it is mentioned. But Lord is not very happy to stay in the hearts of yogis. But He likes to be captivated or arrested in the hearts of devotees who glorify Him with great love and affection. So what is that verse? First canto, first chapter, second verse. Dharma Projita. Kaita Votra Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam Vidyam Vastava Matra Vastu Shivadam Tapatra Yuvan Muranam. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunikrite Kimva Parair Ishvaraha Sadhyo Hridi Avarudhyate. Ishvaraha Sadhyo Hridi Avarudhyate Atra Kritubhi Susrushi Vistakshanat. Lord likes to be captivated in the heart of a sincere student of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, He is not very excited to stay even in Vaikuntha or even in the hearts of great yogis. So, that is how the Lord hears His own glories. Lord likes to hear His own glories. That does not mean that Lord is proud of His glories or anything like that. That is the very nature of Lord's qualities. The nature of Lord's qualities and form and various attributes are attractive even to the Lord also. In this material world, if someone is super enthusiastic to hear his own glories, one may consider him proud. He is so eager. He is not feeling humbled also. Just now we have seen some time back this Kardamuni glorifies Manu and Manu felt little embarrassed. Generally, a gentle person will get embarrassed to hear his own glories. But the Supreme Lord is eager to hear his own glories. He likes to stay at that place than his Vaikuntha and other places. So that is the very nature of the Lord's glories and attributes and qualities, that they attract even the Supreme Lord. Right? Krishna sees his own beautiful form in a mirror and he wonders, who is this beautiful person? Then as he is appreciating his beauty is increasing. So there is a competition between Krishna's appreciation for his own beauty and the increase of Krishna's beauty, like that. So Krishna gets attracted by his own beauty. Even all the incarnations of Krishna will get attracted to Krishna's beauty and attributes. When Lord Ramachandra was hearing Lavakusha reciting Ramayana, all the assembly members there, they were relishing so much Ram Katha. Lavakusha were singing so nicely. Lord Ram was sitting on the throne and enjoying. At one point he observed that all this audience there, they were also enjoying Ramakatha and they are enjoying more than me. Why these devotees are enjoying Ramakatha more than me? So Lord Ram was little wondering. So he kept all his ornaments like this so that they don't make any sound. He slowly came and sat in the midst of the audience, citizens. Right? And the citizens are saying, oh, what a nice point, like that. They were just clapping hands and then clapping the thighs, right? So Lord Ram was in the midst of all of them and he enjoyed like that. That's how some acharyas explain. So to relish his own katha, Lord Ram is also eager, right? Even when Rohini was speaking to all the queens of Dwaraka, Subhadra was kept as the doorkeeper, right? You make sure that Krishna and Balram would not come here. We are discussing Krishna's glories, Krishna's Vrindavan leelas. Then Subhadra said, okay, I will be doorkeeper. But she started peeping inside and she started hearing and she went into ecstasy. Her eyes became so big. Then Krishna and Balram came. They stood on either side of Subhadra and they also started hearing and they also went into ecstasy. So it is the very nature of Krishna's glories and qualities and pastimes that even Lord himself gets attracted to those glories. Right? So that's what is mentioned. Lord neither lives in Vaikuntha nor in the heart of yogi. He lives where pure devotees are always chanting and glorifying him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Bhakta Vatsala. He is never described as Gnani Vatsala or Yogi Vatsala. Why? Because Bhaktas glorify the Lord. Gnanis and yogis, they have their own practices, but Bhaktas, all activities are centered around glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why he is called Bhakta Vatsala. Because he is more inclined towards devotees than towards other transcendentalists. One can understand me only by devotional service and not otherwise. Bhaktya mam abhijanati. And Prabhupada, in the last part of the purport, he also says about Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. And realizing Bhagavan is complete. Right? And Paramatma is realized by yogis, by meditation. Brahman is realized by jnanis, by their speculation. But Bhagavan is realized by his devotees. And when Bhagavan is there, Brahman and Paramatma are already there. Right? We need not separately endeavor to come in contact with the effulgence of the Lord when you are directly interacting with the personality of God. So, Bhagavan realization includes. The other day I was giving this example of milk. So, if we approach a cup of milk with the sense of eyes, we see it as a white substance. If we approach that same cup of milk with our ears, we will hear its glories or whatever. And if we touch it with our sense of hand, then we will see it is cold or hot, like that. Similarly, nose can smell only the fragrance of milk. But if we approach the same cup of milk with our tongue, with our mouth, we can drink it and we can get nourished. So while drinking, one may smell also, one may see also, one may touch also. But other senses, when they come in contact with milk, they cannot get complete benefit of that cup of milk. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is accessible, is understandable, is realized completely only through the process of Bhakti Yoga. Approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the process of Bhakti Yoga means drinking the milk and not seeing the milk or hearing about milk, right? But approaching the Supreme Lord by the process of yogic meditation or jnanic speculation means just seeing the milk or touching the milk or smelling the milk, that's all. We will not get complete realization of milk. Next, 30th verse.
Sviyam vakyam ritam kartum avatirnosi me grihe chikirshur bhagavan jnanam bhaktanam manavardhanaham.
Kardam Muni said, "You, my dear Lord, who are always increasing the honor of your devotees, have descended in my home just to fulfill your word and disseminate the process of real knowledge."
Sviyam vakyam ritam krite kartum.
So ritam means true. You appeared in my house to make your words true. Because in the previous chapter, 21st chapter, Lord promised Kardamuni, "I will appear in your house." So you have appeared in your house and made your words true. So avatirnosi me grihe chikirshir bhagavan jnanam bhaktanam manavardhanaha. And by that appearance you fulfilled your own word, and also you are increasing the glories of your own devotees. Bhaktanam manavardhanam, the man, the respect or the honor of his devotees is increased by the Lord. Lord is very happy to see his own devotees glorified. He wants his devotees to be more glorified than himself. He gives more credit to his devotees more than what he takes for himself. One beautiful beautiful verse in the Rudra Gita comes. Sarva Saundarya Sangraham. How does it begin? Sarva Saundarya Sangraham. Darshanam no didrukshunam dehi bhagavatarchitam rupam priyatamanam swanam sarvendriya gunanjanam. Then snigdha pravrut ghanashyamam sarva saundarya sangraham charvayata chaturbahu sujata ruchirananam. Fourth canto, 24th chapter. Snigdha pravrut ghanashyamam means Lord's form is glistening like monsoon cloud. Sarva saundarya sangraham, Lord's form is the collection of all beauties. All beauties in the material world and all beauties in the spiritual world are all put together in the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is the external beauty of the Lord. But Prabhupada explains in that same purport how the Lord is so beautiful because of his character. The beauty of Krishna's character is to give credit to his devotees. He is the one who orchestrated the entire Kurukshetra war, and he gave all credit to Arjuna. He made Arjuna the hero of Kurukshetra battle, right? And he is the one who predicted that his holy name be chanted in every town and village, Lord Chaitanya. But the credit goes to Prabhupada. He established International Society for Krishna Consciousness while Lord Chaitanya preached in India. But Prabhupada gives all credit to Lord Chaitanya because Lord Nityananda predicted, because Lord Chaitanya predicted. Now International Society for Krishna Consciousness is spreading all over the globe. So Lord always wants to see his devotee glorified, and devotees always want to see the Lord glorified. This is their mutual exchange of credit. They don't want to take credit for themselves. So Prabhupada writes in that purport that the six Goswamis, when they were staying in Vrindavan, they are very close to everyone, right? Everybody appreciated them. Dhira, dhira, janapriyo. Both dhiras and adhiras, both gentle people and ruffians, loved and respected with six Goswamis. However, when Krishna was present in Vrindavan, it was not the case. Devotees were loving him, demons were trying to attack him. So Krishna, who is greater? Six Goswamis are greater than Krishna. That's how Krishna wanted to glorify his devotees, six Goswamis. And six Goswamis are writing so much literature and establishing so many temples for the worship of Krishna. They want to see Krishna glorified. So like the devotees and Krishna, they glorify each other. So that's why he is called Bhaktanam Manavardhanam. ఈవెన్ ప్రచేతస్ ఆల్సో గ్లోరిఫై ద లార్డ్. నమో విశుద్ధ సత్వాయ హరయే హరిమేధసి, వాసుదేవాయ శాంతాయ ప్రభవే సర్వసత్వతాం. దిస్ ఇస్ ద ప్రేయర్ ఆఫ్ ప్రచేతస్. నమో విశుద్ధ సత్వాయ, మై డియర్ లార్డ్, యు ఆర్ ఇన్ ప్యూర్ మోడ్ ఆఫ్ గుడ్నెస్ విచ్ ఇస్ అన్కంటామినేటెడ్ బై ఎనీ టింజ్ ఆఫ్ ప్యాషన్ అండ్ ఇగ్నరెన్స్. నమో విశుద్ధ సత్వాయ హరయే హరిమేధసి, యు ఆర్ లార్డ్ హరి అండ్ యూ హ్యావ్ హరిమేధస. యువర్ మేధస్, యువర్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ ఈస్ కాన్స్టెంట్లీ స్కీమింగ్ హౌ టు డెలివర్ పీపుల్ ఇన్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్, హౌ టు స్టీల్ దేర్ మిజరీస్. దట్స్ వై ఈస్ కాల్డ్ హరిమేధసి. హరయే హరిమేధసే, వాసుదేవాయ శాంతాయ ప్రభవే సర్వసత్వతాం. దిస్ ఇస్ ద వర్డ్ విచ్ ఇస్ మ్యాచింగ్ దిస్ లాస్ట్ లైన్. ప్రభవే సర్వసత్వతం మీన్స్ లార్డ్ ఈస్ ఆల్వేస్ ఈగర్ టు ఇంక్రీస్ ద ఇన్ఫ్లుయెన్స్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ డివోటీస్. దేర్ ప్రభావ షుడ్ ఇంక్రీజ్. మై డివోటీ షుడ్ బికమ్ మోర్ ఫేమస్, మోర్ ఇన్ఫ్లుయెన్షియల్, మోర్ పవర్ఫుల్, మచ్ గ్రేటర్ దాన్ మీ. దట్ ఈస్ హిస్ అటిట్యూడ్. దట్స్ వై ఈస్ కాల్డ్ భక్తానం మానవర్ధనం. దేర్ ఫార్ ద లార్డ్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ భక్తాన మానవర్ధన, హీ హూ ఇంక్రీజెస్ ది ఆనర్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ డివోటీస్. బై డిస్ట్రిబ్యూటింగ్ సాంఖ్య హీ వుడ్ ఇంక్రీజ్ ద ఆనర్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ డివోటీస్. దేర్ ఫార్ సాంఖ్య ఫిలాసఫీ ఈస్ నాట్ డ్రై మెంటల్ స్పెక్యులేషన్. సాంఖ్య మీన్స్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్. డివోటీస్ ఆర్ నాట్ ఇంట్రెస్టెడ్ ఇన్ స్పెక్యులేటివ్ నాలెడ్జ్. Therefore, the Sankhya enunciated by Kapila is meant to establish one firmly in devotional service. If more and more people are established in devotional service, entire world will be filled with devotees and devotees are glorified everywhere. Real knowledge and real liberation is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and engage in devotional service. So, Lord wants to increase the honor of his devotees. He does not want to increase the honor of jnanis or karmis. Lord wants to see his devotees glorified more than other transcendentalists, jnanis and karmis. So that only he is establishing knowledge is insignificant without bhakti. See, in Sankhya he establishes knowledge without bhakti is not glorious. Knowledge when it is accompanied by bhakti, then only it is glorious. So because he is glorifying devotional service and the devotional service is embraced by devotees, devotees are glorified. So Kapila's propagation of Sankhya philosophy is also glorification of devotees. That's how Acharyas explain. 31st verse. Tanyevate bahu abhirupani rupani bhagavamstava యాని యాని చ రోచంతే స్వజ్ఞానాం అరూప స్వజనానాం అరూపిణః.
మై డియర్ లార్డ్, ఆల్దో యూ హ్యావ్ నో మెటీరియల్ ఫార్మ్, యూ హ్యావ్ యువర్ ఓన్ ఇన్యూమరేబుల్ ఫార్మ్స్. దే ట్రూలీ ఆర్ యువర్ ట్రాన్సెండెంటల్ ఫార్మ్స్ విచ్ ఆర్ ప్లీజింగ్ టు యువర్ డివోటీస్.
తాన్యేవ తే అభిరూపాణి. సో ద లార్డ్ అపియర్స్ ఇన్ సో మెనీ ఫార్మ్స్, ఇన్యూమరబుల్ ఫార్మ్స. And all these forms are not material forms, they are all personal and spiritual forms. And these forms are very pleasing to the devotees. That means other forms which are not exhibited by Lord's Swarupa, Lord's internal potency, are not pleasing to the devotees. So all the Leela Avataras, they are exhibited by the Lord's internal potency, they are all pleasing to the devotees. They worship that form. త్వం భక్తి యోగ పరిభావిత హృత్సరోజ ఆస్సే శృతేక్షిత పథో ననునాథ పుంసం యద్యద్ ధియాత ఉరుగాయ విభావయంతి తత్తత్వపుః ప్రణయసే సదనుగ్రహాయ. సో లార్డ్ మేనిఫెస్ట్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ ఇన్ సో మెనీ బ్యూటిఫుల్ ఫార్మ్స్ అండ్ డివోటీస్ లవ్ దోస్ ఫార్మ్స్ యాజ్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ ఇన్ ద వేదిక్ లిటరేచర్స్ అండ్ లార్డ్ ఈస్ ప్లీజ్డ్ టు ఎగ్జిబిట్ దోస్ ఫార్మ్స్ టు దోస్ డివోటీస్ అకార్డింగ్ టు దేర్ లైకింగ్ యద్యద్ ధియాత. సో దట్ ఈస్ లార్డ్స్ exhibition of certain forms. However, Lord exhibits other forms like universal form. He exhibits this universe and there are so many other forms manifested by Lord's material energy. Those forms are not very pleasing to the devotees. So, your transcendental forms are pleasing to your devotees. Svajananam arupinaha. Lord's forms are loved by Svajana. But material forms are not loved by them. Universal form is not very much appreciated by devotees. These multi-forms are manifested by him transcendentally according to the tastes of his multi-devotees. So there are so many devotees. There are innumerable devotees of the Lord, but Lord has the capacity to display one unique form for the pleasure of one devotee. For each, to reciprocate with each devotee, Lord can manifest a particular form in a particular flavor. So that, to that extent, Lord can reciprocate with his devotees. So it is understood that once Hanuman said that, "I understand Krishna's glory, I understand Narayana's glory, but I love Ramachandra's form only." So Hanumanji is very honest enough to say that, "I want Lord Ramachandra's form only. I can't, that is my favorite form." So Lord appreciates that form. The varieties of transcendental forms exist simultaneously. Just like Ramadi Murti Sukalaniyamena Tishthan, or this one, Deepachireva Hidasanchara Mabhupetya, Deepayate Vivrita Hetu Samana Dharma. So one candle lits all other candles. All candles put together, they are having equal amount of light. However, that one candle is the source candle, that is Krishna candle. So, but all these forms are transcendental. They are non-different. The non-different aspect of all these transcendental forms of the Lord is explained here. Next. Even this Venkateswara Suprabhatam also says, Meena Krite Kamatha Kola Nrisimhavarnin. Meena krite kamatha kola risimhavarnim swamin sushila sulabha ashrita parijataha swamin sushila sulabha ashrita parijataha. So Lord is very kind enough towards all his devotees to manifest various forms only to reciprocate with various devotees. Sulabha ashrita. Sulabha means easily accessible and easily approachable. Ashrita parijataha means whoever surrenders unto the Lord, Lord becomes like a parijata, means like a desire tree who can fulfill all the desires. So like that, another verse explains the Lord's glories. Whenever there is form, there is a person. Many times in many Vedic literatures, the Lord is described as Purusha. That means the original form, the original enjoyer. The conclusion is that he has no material form. Yet, according to the liking of different grades of devotees, he simultaneously exists in multi forms like Rama, Nrisimha, Varaha, Narayana, Mukunda, etc., etc., etc. So, this is about Lord's forms. So, first, in the previous verse, he described how the Lord enunciates Sankhya. This particular form of Kapila is meant to spread this Sankhya philosophy. Then later he established the forms of the Lord. Even Kunti Maharani also says, Janma karma cha vishvatman ajasya akarturatmanah tiryan rishishu yadushu tadatyanta vidambanam. So Lord manifests his forms in various species. Tiryan rishishu yadushu, as Yadu, as a human being he will come, or sometimes he will come as a Meena, this fish incarnation. In various different species Lord will appear. So all these are very bewildering to some devotees, but ultimately the understanding is he appears by his own internal potency for the pleasure of his devotees, to fulfill the certain needs of his devotees. 32nd verse. In the 31st verse he glorified the forms of the Lord. In the 32nd verse he is glorifying the opulences of the Lord. Tvam suri bhistatva babhut sayadha sabhabhivadharhanapadapitam aishwarya vairagya yashovabodham viryashriya purtamaham prapadye.
My dear Lord, your lotus feet are the reservoir that always deserves to receive worshipful homage from all great sages eager to understand the absolute truth. You are full in opulence, renunciation, transcendental fame, knowledge, strength, beauty, and therefore I surrender myself unto your lotus feet.
Tvam suribhis tattva bhubutsayadha. there are so many exalted devotees, they have a desire, babutsaya, they have a desire to understand you, certainly. So, what is your glory? Aishwarya, Vairagya, Yasha, Avabodha, Virya, Shriya. These are the six opulences of the Lord. Aishwarya, opulence. Vairagya is renunciation. Yasha is fame. Avabodha, knowledge. Virya, strength. Shriya, beauty. So, Purtam means Lord is complete in all these six opulences. Right? So, I offer obeisances and I surrender myself unto your lotus feet. So, he says, actually, those who are searching after the absolute truth must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So, you remember that verse? Marganti yatte mukhapadmanidais chandas suparnai rishayo vivikte yasyaghamarshoda saridvaraya padam padam tirthapadah prapannah. Marganti yatte mukhapadmanidaihi. Marganti means searching. Prabhupada is saying the same thing. Devotees search. Actually, those who are searching after the absolute truth must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Marganti yatte mukhapadma nidaihi. Great devotees search for the absolute truth and take shelter of the lotus face of the Lord. Next, devotees who are searching also will take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Mukhapadma nidaihi chandas suparnai rishayo vibhikte yasya aghamarshoda saridvaraya param padam tirthapada prapanna. And some devotees search for the absolute truth through the wings of the Vedas and take shelter of the lotus feet, and they also take shelter of the lotus face of the Lord. Right? So taking shelter of the lotus face of the Lord means hearing Srimad Bhagavad Gita emanating from Lord's lotus face. Taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord means taking shelter of Ganga river, which is emanating from his lotus feet. So both are equally purifying, Ganga and Bhagavad Gita. So those who are searching after the absolute truth must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord and worship him. In Gita, Krishna advised Arjuna many times to surrender unto him, especially at the end of 9th chapter, Man Mana Bhava Mad Bhakto. The Lord is always full in six opulences. No one can claim that all wealth belongs to him. No one can claim that all strength belongs to him, all beauty belongs to him. So Lord is the master of all these opulences for the since time immemorial and for the rest of eternity. No one can compete with him in his possession of opulences. Another one of Krishna's names is Asamordhva, which means that no one is equal to or greater than him. Right? So he is full in all opulences. One beautiful verse comes in the 10th canto. 10th canto, 44th or 43rd chapter. Someone can see. Gopyah tapah kimacharan yadamushya rupam lavanya saramasamo ardhvamananya siddham drigbhih pibantyanu sabhinavam durapam ekanta dhamaya shashasriya aishwarasya. Gopyah tapah kimacharan yadamushya rupam. What kind of austerities gopis must have done to be able to see this beautiful form of Krishna? That means austerities is not the qualification to be able to see Krishna. It's a conventional way of saying. Gopyaha tapaha kimacharan. Gopyaha tapaha. 10th canto. So, gopyaha tapaha kimacharan yad amushya rupam. Then, lavanya saram. So, what is the glory of this form of Krishna? Lavanya saram. It is the essence of all loveliness. Asamordham. Prabhupada uses that word. Lavanya saram asamordham. There is no other form which is equal or superior to this form of Krishna. Especially this form of Krishna is described in the context where Krishna enters the wrestling arena of Kamsa, and all the Mathura ladies, they were appreciating this cowherd boy form of Krishna as a 10 and a half year old boy, whose form is constantly seen by the gopis. They were appreciating gopis' fortune. Yeah, this one. Gopyah tapah kimacharan yadamushya rupam. Lavanya saram is essence of all loveliness. Asamordham, unparalleled. Ananya siddham. Where did Krishna attain this form? It is innate in him. He did not attain this form from somewhere else. How did Krishna get that beautiful form? One may ask. But he did not get from anywhere. It is natural for him. Ananya siddham. Drigbihi pibanti anusava abhinavam. although one is drinking the form of the Supreme Lord Krishna through the eyes, anusava abhinavam, it always appears new. Durapam, durapam means very rarely attainable. Ekanta dhama, the one and only abode of Shriya Aishwarasya. Shriya means all beauty, Aishwara means all opulence and wealth. And not only that, other opulences, as Kardamuni is saying, Aishwarya, Vairagya, Yesha, Avabodha, Virya, Shriya, all these opulences are there in Krishna's form. He is Asamordhava. That is the glory of Krishna's form. Now in the 33rd verse, he glorifies Krishna's various powers.
Parampradhanam Purusham Mahantam Kalam Kavim Trivritam Lokapalam Atmanubhutyanugata Prapancham Svachanda Shaktim Kapilam Prapadye Parampradhanam Purusham Mahantam Kalam Kavim Trivritam Lokapalam Atmanubhutyanugata Prapancham Svachanda Shaktim Kapilam Prapadye.
Eight attributes of Lord Kapila are mentioned in this verse. Read.
I surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, descended in the form of Kapila, who is independently powerful and transcendental, who is the Supreme Person and the Lord of sum total of matter and element of time, who is fully cognizant maintainer of all universes under the three modes of material nature, and who absorbs the material manifestations after their dissolution.
Param, he is transcendental. Param Pradhanam. Pradhanam means chief. Pradhanamantri, we say, right? That chief. He is the foremost. Right? Param Pradhanam Purusham, he is a person. And Mahantam, he is the origin of material world. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur also gives another explanation. After explaining the personal attributes of Krishna, of Kapila, Kardava Muni is glorifying the material aspect of the Lord, the material forms of the Lord which are not a part of His Swarupa. So that way all these words can also be connected with Mahatattva and all the material elements. But Prabhupada explains all these words as spiritual attributes of the Lord. So Param, transcendental, Pradhanam, supreme or chief, Purusham is person, Mahantam is he's the origin of material world, then Kalam, he's the time factor, and Kavim, he's fully cognizant. Kavim Purana Manushashitaram Anoraniyam Samanusmaridhyaha Sarvasya Dhataram Achintya Rupam Aditya Varnam Tamasaparastat. So even Bhagavad Gita also glorifies Kavim Puranam. Kavim means he is the fully cognizant personality. Puranam, oldest person. So like that Gita also explains. So Kavim is the sixth attribute here. Then Trivritam means the three modes of material nature are manifested by him. Lokapalam, he is the maintainer of all universes. So Lord is transcendental. All these material attributes are also belonging to him and they are manifested by him. Right? So Atmanu Bhutyanu Gata Prapancham Swachanda Shaktim Kapilam Prapadye. Swachanda Shakti means he is always independently powerful. His power is not dependent on anyone. Swachanda Shaktim Kapilam Prapadye. Atmanu Bhutyanu Gata. Atmanu Bhutya means by his own internal potency. What does he do? Anugata Prapancham. Anugata. He absorbs, he dissolves this Prapancha. Prapancha is universal universe. Is this world. So this world is manifested by the Supreme Lord, maintained by the Supreme Lord, and withdrawn by the Supreme Lord. He is all powerful. That aspect is explained here. So Prabhupada is writing in this purport. This word Param is used in the very beginning of Bhagavatam. Janmadyesya yato yatonvayaditartaschartheshu abhignaswarat. You read the last line. Satyam Param Dhimahi. He is the Parama Satyam. He is the supreme truth. He is the ultimate truth. That refers to the personality of Godhead. Param is explained further by the next word, Pradhanam. Means he is the chief. And he is the cause of all causes. He is Sarva Karana Karanam. Right? ಈಶ್ವರ ಪರಮಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸಚ್ಚಿದಾನಂದ ವಿಗ್ರಹ ಅನಾದಿರಾದಿರ್ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಸರ್ವಕಾರಣ ಕಾರಣಂ. ಅನದರ್ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿಫುಲ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಪ್ರೇಯರ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಗಜೇಂದ್ರ 8.3.15 ನಮೋ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಅಖಿಲ ಕಾರಣಾಯ ನಿಷ್ಕಾರಣಾಯ ಅದ್ಭುತ ಕಾರಣಾಯ ಸರ್ವಾಗಮಾಮ್ನಾಯ ಮಹಾರ್ಣವಾಯ ನಮೋಪವರ್ಗಾಯ ಪರಾಯಣಾಯ. ನಮೋ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಅಖಿಲ ಕಾರಣಾಯ, ಐ ಆಫರ್ ಒಬೇಸೆನ್ಸಸ್ ಟು ದಟ್ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಹೂ ಈಸ್ ಅಖಿಲ ಕಾರಣಾಯ, ಹಿ ಇಸ್ ದ ಕಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ಕಾಸಸ್, ಸರ್ವಕಾರಣ ಕಾರಣಂ. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ನಿಷ್ಕಾರಣಾಯ, ಆಲ್ ದೋ ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ದ ಕಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ಕಾಸಸ್, ಹೀ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ನೋ ಕಾಸ್, ದಟ್ಸ್ ವೈ ಈಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ನಿಷ್ಕಾರಣಾಯ. ಸೊ ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ದ ಕಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ಕಾಸಸ್, ಹೀ ಪರ್ಸನಲಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ನೋ ಕಾಸ್, ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ವೈ ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ವಂಡರ್ಫುಲ್ ಕಾಸ್, ಅದ್ಭುತ ಕಾರಣಾಯ. ಥರ್ಡ್ ವರ್ಡ್. ಸೊ ನಮೋ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಅಖಿಲ ಕಾರಣಾಯ ನಿಷ್ಕಾರಣಾಯ ಅದ್ಭುತ ಕಾರಣಾಯ. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಸರ್ವಾಗಮಾಮ್ನಾಯ ಮಹಾರ್ಣವಾಯ, ಆಲ್ ದಿ ಆಗಮಾಸ್ ಆರ್ ಲೈಕ್ ರಿವರ್ಸ್, ರೈಟ್? ಆಲ್ ದಿ ಸ್ಕ್ರಿಪ್ಚುರಲ್ paths which are mentioned in the scriptures, they are all directing towards the Lord, right? Just like all the rivers will go to Arnava, Maharanava, great ocean, similarly all the scriptures are directing the readers towards the Supreme Lord. So he is that destination of all scriptures. So sarvagamamnaya maharanavaya namo apavargaya parayanaya, he is the one and only object of all aspirants of liberation, apavargaya. So the source of everything, sarvakarana karanam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not formless. He is Purusham, enjoyer. The Lord says, I know everything, past and present and future, in every corner of the universe. So, Vedaham samatitani, vartamanani charjuna. We can understand that whatever we see is an incarnation, is an interaction of the modes, but actually it is all interaction of Lord's energy. You may say everything is happening by modes. What is that verse? People are being pulled by the strings of three modes, right? The living entity will think that I am the doer, right? Prakriteh karyamanani gunaih karmani sarvasaha ahankara vimodhatma kartaham iti manyate. So everything is done by the modes. But how are the modes functioning? By the Supreme Lord. So modes are manifested by the Supreme Lord to entangle the living entities. So they are nothing but Lord's energies. And he is Lokapalam. He is actually the maintainer of all living entities. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko badhuna bahunam yo vidadati kama. And he has Swachanda Shakti. So last word, Prabhupada says, Atmanu Bhutyanu Gata Prapancham. The Lord descends either as Kapila, Rama, Nrisimha, Varaha, and whatever forms he assumes in the material world are all manifestations of Atma, his own internal potency. Although he appears to have a material body, his body is never material. So that is how Kapila, Kardam Muni is offering prayers to Kapila. After completing his prayers, in the last verse, Kardam Muni requests Kapila Dev to give him permission to renounce. So far we have seen the prayers of Kapila from 27th verse. First he said, demigods are pleased now. 28th verse he said, yogis, all these yogis, they will be able to see you only after mature yoga practice for so many births. 29th verse he said, but you are so merciful enough to descend in your devotee's house, although his worship is not perfect. Although we worship you in a neglectful way, you descend in our house. Then he glorified the Lord as Bhaktana Manavardhanaha. You propound the Sankhya philosophy and you increase the influence of your devotees. Then 31st verse he described about Lord's various forms. 32nd verse, Lord's various opulences. 33rd verse, Lord's various powers or material expansions. Now 34th verse he is asking permission to renounce this household life. 34. ಪರಿವ್ರಜತ್ಪದವೀಂ ಆಸ್ಥಿತೋಹಂ ಚರಿಷ್ಯೇತ್ವಾಂ ಹೃದಿ ಯುಂಜನ್ವಿಶೋಕಃ.
Today I have something to ask from you, who are the Lord of all living entities. Since I have now been liberated by you from my debts to my father, and since all my desires are fulfilled, I wish to accept the order of an itinerant mendicant. Renouncing this family life, I wish to wander about free from lamentation, thinking always of you in my heart.
So Kardamamuni is planning to renounce. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared in his house, he has the privilege of becoming the father of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Still, he wants to renounce. Prabhupada explains the reasons in the next purport. So before that, Kardamamuni is renouncing now. What is the spirit of renunciation? So Lord Prabhupada very wonderfully explains. Parivrajat Padavim, itinerary mendicant, means they do not live at any one place for throughout their life. After they have taken sannyas, they stay at some place for 3 days, then they will go to some other place, they will stay for 3 days. They don't get attached to any place. Itinerary, they have an itinerary that they keep on traveling. Right? A mendicant sannyasi should not live anywhere for more than 3 days. He must be always moving, because his duty is to move from door to door to enlighten people in Krishna consciousness. So like that, Kardamamuni wanted to renounce. And one does not take sannyasa or freedom from family responsibility in the renounced order of life to make another family. Prabhupada says, I have left this family, I'll take another family. Sannyasi person has sannyasi wife and sannyasi children, that will not happen. So means giving up family responsibilities completely. So Prabhupada writes, freedom from family responsibility in the renounced order of life to make another family or to create an embarrassing transcendental fraud in the name of sannyasa. The sannyasi's business is not to become the proprietor of so many things and amass money from innocent public. However, there are some sannyasis called Goshtyanandis, which means they are preachers, they may have so many followers, they have spiritual families, they inspire so many devotees to practice Krishna consciousness. So that sannyasi life, renounced life centered around propagating Krishna consciousness is fine. Right? But not to increase family in terms of material comforts, right? Or to create fraud. The spirit of renunciation is wonderfully explained in the Avanti Brahman episode. 11th canto, Uddhava Gita, Krishna explains about the story of an Avanti Brahman. 11.23.57, I have noted down the number also. 11.23.57, you can see the spirit of a renounced person is mentioned.
Etam sa asthaya paratmanishtha adhyasitam purvatamair mahadbhir aham tarishyami durantaparam tamo mukundam ghrinisheva yaiva.
So this particular verse is the Paribhasha Sutra for renounced people.
Etamsa asthaya paratmanishtha.
Even Lord Chaitanya, after he has accepted sannyasa, he was constantly reciting this verse. Right? Etamsa asthaya paratmanishtha. While reciting this verse, he was traveling to Vrindavan. Then on the way, Nityanand Prabhu came. He tricked him. So Lord Chaitanya saw Nityanand Prabhu and said, what are you doing here? Then Nityanand Prabhu very innocently said, I am also coming with you to Vrindavan. Oh, you are coming with me to Vrindavan? Fine. Then how far is Vrindavan? He asked. Then Nityanand Prabhu showed Ganga there and said, this is Yamuna. See, we are almost there. We reached Yamuna. And Mahaprabhu went into ecstasy seeing Yamuna. He started offering prayers to Yamuna. Chidananda bhano sadananda suno paraprema patri drava brahma gatri aghanam lavitri jagat kshema dhatri pavitri kriyano vapur mitra putri. Like that, Lord Chaitanya went into ecstasy and offered prayers to Ganga, thinking that it is Yamuna. This is transcendental trickery or cheating done by Lord Nityananda. So after that he realized. Anyways, there the context is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was reciting this verse and going to Vrindavan. So this is the
key principle for all renunciants, sannyasis. Etamsa asthaya paratmanishtha. Paratmanishtha means completely being focused in Krishna consciousness. Paratma, nishtha. Nishtha means being fixed up in his service to Krishna. Right? So, how one has to be fixed up in their service to Krishna? Next line says, adhyasitam purvatamair mahadbhir. The way the previous acharyas have explained or described, that is how one has to practice Krishna consciousness. So, previous acharyas have set example. They have given lot of teachings. They have prescribed certain processes. How a renounced personality should do. So, following those principles set by previous acharyas, one has to lead renounced order of life. Etamsa asthaya paratmanishta adhyasitam purvatamair mahadbhir. Then, aham tarishyami durantaparam. So, by following the footsteps of previous acharyas and being fixed up in Krishna consciousness, tarishyami, I will be able to easily cross over this material existence. Durantaparam, although it is very difficult to cross, I can easily cross because I have a proper process. So, tamo mukundangri nisheva yaiva, I will be able to catch the lotus feet of Lord Mukunda by surpassing this nisayans. This should be the objective of sannyasis or anyone who is in the renounced order of life. So, that is the spirit of renunciation. So, actually, sannyasa, renunciation of material household life, necessitates complete absorption in Krishna consciousness and immersion in the self. And that's what Prabhupada is saying. Complete absorption of Krishna consciousness means paratmanishta. In this purport, Prabhupada elaborates paratmanishta. Means Prabhupada did not write purport for this verse in Bhagavatam, his disciples wrote. But this verse is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the context where Lord Chaitanya is going to Vrindavan. There Prabhupada gave elaborate purport, right, about paratmanishta. That is the spirit of renunciation. Paratmanishta means complete absorption in Krishna consciousness. Now, after Kardamuni offered his heartfelt prayers, Lord is responding to Kardamuni. So before that, I will just summarize the reasons why Kardamuni wanted to renounce, although Lord is directly his son. So one reason that Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives is, Kardamuni was in Dasyarasa since the beginning of his life. Now if he stays at home, he has to get into Vatsalya Rasa. Right? There will be incompatibility of rasas. Now how the rasas function is, a higher rasa includes the emotions of the lower rasa. Means all rasas are complete and pure. All the devotees in those rasas relish relationship with the Lord very ecstatically. But if we do an impartial, unbiased comparison, there is a gradation amongst rasas. Right? Dasya is here and Vatsalya is next. Sakya is above that. And above Sakya is Vatsalya, above Vatsalya is Madhurya. Now you come to Madhurya, it has emotions of all the lower rasas. This it has the affection of Vatsalya and it also has the camaraderie or friendship of Sakya. It has also Dasya Bhav. So it includes all of that. And additionally it has a conjugal flavor also. There is Madhurya. Madhurya includes all the rasas. Similarly, Vatsalya includes friendship also, and affection also, and service, servitorship also. And the next level, Sakya includes friendship also, but it lacks this affection and conjugal flavor. So, Dasya is the first rasa that has only servitorship. A servant, someone who is in purely in servant mode only, he cannot act like a friend. He cannot show affection towards the Lord. So showing affection means you should get into Vatsalya Rasa. A Vatsalya devotee can exhibit Dasya, but a Dasya devotee cannot exhibit Vatsalya. There will be incompatibility of emotions. So for that reason, Kardamuni said, let me remain as a Dasya. I don't want to get into Vatsalya. So I want to renounce. So that is the reason why he renounced. And Prabhupada gives another beautiful reason that we will discuss after reading the next verse. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives few more reasons that Lord will make him renounce anyway to set an ideal example. That Kardamuni, this includes Prabhupada's reason also, Kardama Muni led a ideal brahmachari life by performing so many austerities, right? After that, he led a very ideal household life by taking care of his wife and giving her children and taking care in various ways. Then next, he has to live an ideal sannyasi life, right? He need not go to vanaprastha, he directly can go to sannyasa. So like that, in this ashram, various ashramas, Kardama Muni is very exemplary. Although Kardama Muni can be focused in Krishna consciousness even while at home, still, to set an example, to follow the Vedic injunctions and regulations set by the scriptures, he renounced. So that is the reason for Kardama Muni to retire. Although the Lord is at his home. We will see more. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Maya Proktam Hi Lokasya, Pramanam Satya Lokike, Athajani Maya Tubhyam, Yata Vocham Ritam Mune.
The personality of Godhead, Kapila, said, whatever I speak, whether directly or in the scriptures, is authoritative in all respects for the people of the world. O Muni, because I told you before that I would become your son, I have descended to fulfill this truth.
So Kapila is responding. He is saying, Maya proktam hi lokasya pramanam satya laukike. Whatever I speak is considered praman, very authoritative by this world. So I have spoken to you that I will descend in your family. I did that. So whatever I say should become true. So Lord said, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives another perspective to this verse. Whatever I said should become true. As Krishna, the Lord said, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja. Means you have to give up everything and take my exclusive shelter. So to make my words true, Kardama Muni is renouncing now. So what did the Lord say? Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja. Give up everything and surrender unto me. So Kardama Muni gave up everything. He gave up household life also. Now he is going to renounce the order just to dedicate himself to Krishna. So, quoting this verse, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that way. Now, Prabhupada's purport we will see. Kardama Muni was to leave his family life to completely engage in service of the Lord. But since he knew that Lord himself is there, why did he leave home? So, answer is, whatever is spoken in the Vedas and whatever is practiced in accordance with the injunctions of the Vedas is to be accepted as authoritative in the society. To set an example, for all the people to follow, Kardama Muni at the ripe age, he entered renounced order of life and he left family responsibilities. So to set that example, Kardama Muni renounced. Prabhupada elaborates this point only throughout the purport. And he would say, he would travel from one place to another place. While traveling all over the world as a mendicant, he would always remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead and within his heart, and thereby be free from anxieties of material existence. Right? So, here Prabhupada explains, to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to render service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is more important than being at home or being in the forest. So Kardama Muni, although he is not staying with his son who is an incarnation of God, still ultimately he is engaged in the service of the Lord. Ultimately he is engaged in the remembrance of the Supreme Lord only. So that way he is well situated as a devotee. So that principle is more important than staying at home or staying in the forest. Right? This thing is a detail. Whether he stays with the Lord as an incarnation or he stays away from his association physically, he is always in the association of the Lord by dint of his service and remembrance. So that is more important. Now, in this age Kali Yuga, sannyas is prohibited because persons in this age are all sudras and cannot follow the rules and regulations of sannyas life. Now, there is another angle to it. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in one purport, Prabhupada writes, Vishwarup has taken sannyas. Vishwarup is the elder brother of Lord Chaitanya. there Vishwarupa has taken sannyas, and Balahaila Vishwarupa Karila sannyas, Pitrakula Matrakula Kaila Uddhar, something like that, one beautiful verse comes. So by taking sannyas, Vishwarupa has delivered his father's family and mother's family. So very good that he has taken sannyas. When did Vishwarupa take sannyas? In Kali Yuga only. So Prabhupada raises an argument there that although the sannyasa is prohibited in Kali Yuga, according to some verses, Ashwamedham Gavalambam Sannyasam Palavaitrukam Devarena Sutotpatyam Kalam Kalau Pancha Vivarjayat. Ashwamedham means horse sacrifice, Gavalambam cow sacrifice, Sannyasam taking renounced out of life, Palapaitrukam impregnating a brother's wife, right? So Devarena Sutotpatyam, and Palavaitrukam is what? Offering oblations of flesh to forefathers. So all these five things are prohibited in Kali Yuga. So if sannyas is prohibited in Kali Yuga, why it is accepted by Lord Chaitanya's brother? And why Lord Chaitanya himself accepted after some time? When his brother came in his dream and said, you also come with me, Lord Chaitanya told Vishwarupa that, no, I will not come with you. What do I know about sannyas? I will stay at home, I will take care of my parents. Then Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra became very happy hearing this dream of Lord Chaitanya. However, at the age of 24, Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. So Prabhupada writes in that context that sannyasa, that Mayavad sannyasa, which makes one think that he has artificially become God, so that kind of sannyas is prohibited. Or people take sannyasa just to maintain themselves by sustaining on the charity given by different people. They eat anything and everything. They become completely indifferent to any responsibilities of maintaining themselves, but they just live, sustain on begging and eating all kinds of things. So that kind of degraded sannyasa and Mayavad sannyasa are prohibited in Kali Yuga. But sannyasa accepted for rendering pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord and propagation of Krishna consciousness is allowed, and that sannyasa should be accepted, like that Prabhupada writes. So Mayavadis think that by accepting sannyasa I have become God. Danda grahana matrena naram narayano bhavit. This is their concept. I have accepted danda, although I am nara, I have become narayano. So this is how they think. So that kind of sannyasa is not recommended. But accepting sannyasa with this spirit, what is that verse we have just seen? Evam sa asthaya paratmanishtha. So sannyasa which is centered around paratmanishtha is recommended. That sannyasa can be accepted. So here the Lord is saying that whatever I speak, whether directly or in the scriptures, is authoritative in all respects for all people in the world. So whatever Lord does and whatever Lord speaks is authoritative. Praman. So Lord speaks directly or Lord speaks through scriptures. So both are valid. So both are authoritative. So this verse comes. Evai Bhagavata Prokta. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes this verse in this purport. This is from Uddhava Gita. Even ignorant living entities can know the Supreme Personality of Godhead if they can adopt the means which is prescribed by the Supreme Lord. So that is the glory of whatever Lord recommends, whatever Lord does, whatever Lord prescribes, that has that potency. Even lowest living entities also can be elevated. So esya anuvrittya kritino bhavuvima. So by following the instructions of the Lord, one can be delivered. So that's what is said. Whatever I speak is authoritative. Next, 36th verse. So in these two verses, we have discussed various reasons why Kardamuni accepted sannyas, what is the spirit of sannyas, and also we have seen how the Lord's words are authoritative. 36th verse, Lord is continuing. Etanme janma lokesmin mumukshunam durarshayat durashayat prasankhyanaya tattvanam sammatayatma darshane.
My appearance in this world is especially to explain the philosophy of Sankhya, which is highly esteemed for self-realization by those desiring freedom from the entanglement of unnecessary material desires.
Lord says the glory of his Sankhya philosophy, which is going to speak. So Prabhupada says, human society should very seriously understand the body itself is the source of all miserable life. However comfortably one maintains his body, the body is destructible. Right? Antavanta ime deha, nitya srokta sharirinaha. Actually they aspire for an eternal body. So there is a lot of reluctance in people in general to change their physical situation, to change their body. Nobody would happily invite death. They struggle to continue in this body. So what does it mean? They are actually aspiring for eternal body. Because even though they engage in sense enjoyment, that sense enjoyment is not eternal. They are therefore in want of something which they can enjoy eternally. But they do not know how to attain that perfection. So Lord came to explain all that. The real truth is knowledge of how to get out of the material body, which is the source of all trouble. 37th verse.
Yesha atma patho vyakto nashtah kalena bhuyasa tram tam pravartayitum deham imam vidhimaya bhritam.
This path of self-realization, which is difficult to understand, has now been lost in the course of time. Please know that I have assumed this body of Kapila to introduce and explain the philosophy to human society again.
So Lord descended to revive this lost knowledge. He wants to re-establish this knowledge, to reintroduce it. Then, yada yada hi dharmasya, yogo nashta parantapa, these are all connected verses. So the mind can be unlimitedly agitated. So Prabhupada makes a nice point here, see. The field of activity of the speculators is the mind. There is no limit to the different ways in which one can agitate the mind. The mind can be unlimitedly agitated. So agitated means there is a still water, lake, swimming pool, one can go. And it's water is still, just throw one stone, some agitation. Throw two stones. So the first stone created some ripples, circles. Second stone created more circles. There is collision, there is more agitation. You put 10 stones, more agitation. Right? You just jump into it. There's a lot of agitation. And people will start beating the water and then do so many things. A lot of agitation, a lot of bubbles, a lot of foam can also come. So that is how mind is also. Right? Mind is also subject to a lot of agitation by people, speculators. So they keep on twisting the mind, thinking this way, that way, that way, a lot of agitation. So ideally, the mind has to be settled down and focused on Krishna. So the mind can be unlimitedly agitated, and thus one can put forward number of theories. When the mind is unlimitedly agitated, unlimited ideas will be concocted and they will come in the form of theories. And over a period of time, they will become the textbooks of children to study, right? All these concocted theories, and people will think this is the science, right? This is the highest science. And whatever is descending from the Supreme Lord directly, Bhagavatam is going into the background, and these concocted theories by the speculative minds of people will become more popular. So Lord Chaitanya descended to actually mitigate all these apparent discrepancies in the scriptures, because it's not easy for everyone to understand the scriptures. Different people will interpret the scriptures in different way, and different scriptures speak the truth in various levels. So like that, there could be a lot of confusion amongst philosophers, right? So Lord Chaitanya came to reconcile all of them. That's why he is called Shamyak Shastra Vivadaya. This beautiful verse comes. Helo dhunita khedaya vishadaya pronmila damodaya Shamyak Shastra Vivadaya rasadaya chittarpitonmadaya Shashvat Bhakti Vinodaya Samadaya Madhurya Maryadaya Sri Chaitanya Dayanidhe Tavadaya Bhuyada Mandodaya. This is spoken by Swarup Damodar Goswami. So this describes 10 aspects of Lord Chaitanya's Daya, mercy. So one aspect is Shamyak Shastra Vivadaya. We will not go into the details of all of the 10. So one aspect is Shamyak Shastra Vivadaya. He mitigates or he reconciles all the apparently contradictory elements of the Shastras and makes the philosophy very clear. Achintya, Bheda, Abheda, Tattva. So many theories will come up only because of the concoctions of different philosophers. But here, there is one philosophy. Achintya, Bheda, Bheda. It's very clear. Energy and energetic. They are same. They are one. At the same time, they are different also. So energy cannot exist without energetic. Energetic has no meaning without energy. In that sense, they are same. At the same time, they exist separately. Whatever is little difficult to understand in this, Achintya word is there, right? To compensate. There is Bheda, there is Abheda. Some Shastras will say Bheda Vakyas. They emphasize the difference aspect between the Lord and His energies. Some other Shastras will propose Abheda Vakyas, the non-difference aspect between the Lord and His energies. So Lord Chaitanya brings both of them together. Bheda, Abheda. Both are correct. Achintya. Achintya, Bheda, Abheda. That's why he's called Samyak Shastra Vivadaya. So now Shastras present at different level and there are different philosophers who interpret or misinterpret those Shastras and increase the confusion. Right? So by reading so many Shastras and explanations of so many people, mind will get confused and people will not be able to figure out what is the ultimate goal of life. That's what has happened in the life of Tapan Mishra. Tapan Mishra was confused by reading so many books. So when Brahmana came in his dream and instructed him, go to Lord Chaitanya, he will clear all your confusions and tell you what is the sadhya and sadhana, what is the goal of your life and how to attain the goal of your life. So in due course of time, a particular type of knowledge may be lost or may be covered for time being. That is the nature of this material world. So whenever it happens, yovo nashta parantapa, whenever it happens, Lord will come to revive as incarnation. Now, Sankhya philosophy is lost, Lord Kapila is coming to revive it. Right? So Bhagavad Gita, Krishna revived, and Lord Chaitanya came, he descended and he gave Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Before that there was a lot of background, so that we discussed last time. So Kapila also said that the system of Sankhya philosophy was not exactly being introduced by him. He is not introducing it. It was already current, but in course of time it was mysteriously lost and therefore he appeared to reintroduce it. That is the purpose of his incarnation. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. When there is a discrepancy in the eternal occupation of the living entity, the Lord comes and introduces the real occupation of the life. So bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bhihi shravana smaranarhani karishyan iti kechana. So Lord descends for the purpose of reviving the process of devotional service. Even Kunti Maharani also says. Yes, Prabhu, you had some point.
Kapila Muni's Sankhya, this is the first question. Is it there anywhere, like a book?
Third canto, 25th chapter to 28th chapter. 30th chapter, 32nd chapter, sorry. 8 chapters of third canto is that only.
That is it.
It will start from next chapter only.
Okay, and the second is, when agitation is caused in the mind, desire causes it is understandable, but prakriti also, based on our gunas, does it cause agitation? Mm-hmm. Agitation, when it is caused in our mind, desire causes it is very clear, when we desire. But without desire, after control of desire, our previous nature also causes it?
See, mind is influenced in various ways. So in one sense, desire causes that agitation. False ego can cause our vision. It can create desires and it can cause agitation. So like that, mind can be agitated in various ways. There could be hundreds of reasons why mind can be agitated. 38th verse. Gaccha kamam maya prishto mai sanyasta karmana jitva sudurjayam mrityam amrutatvaya mam bhaja.
Now being sanctioned by me, go as you desire, surrendering all your activities to me. Conquering insurmountable death, worship me for eternal life.
Now finally, Kapila instructs Kardamuni, now I sanction your departure. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur interestingly writes this, that I cannot say you go. Kapila tells Kardamuni, I cannot say you go. You are saying you want to go, but I cannot say you can go. If you wish, you go. Right? You can stay here also, no problem. So, but if you wish, you can go. Like that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains. Now being sanctioned by me, go as you desire, surrendering all your activities to me. And after you go, you perform devotional service and conquer insurmountable death. The purpose of Sankhya philosophy is mentioned here, for eternal life. So, mam bhaja, that word is also very important. Jitva sudirjayam mrityam amrutatvaya mam bhaja. Mam bhaja means worshipping the Supreme Lord, performing devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So, Prabhupada says, manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. It's all about mam bhaja. Even Suniti also says to Dhruva, tameva vatsasraya bhritya vatsalam mumukshubhir mrugya padabja paddhatim ananya bhave nija dharma bhavite manasyavasthapya bhajasva purusham. Keep, we can do your occupational duty, whichever varna, whichever ashrama is there, that you can do. But you should always establish the Lord in your heart and worship Him. Perform devotional service unto Him. Mam bhaja. Next, Sankhya means the factual knowledge by which one can get out of the material entanglement. 39th verse. Mamatmanam swayam jyotihi sarvabhuta guhashayam atmanyevatmana vikshya vishoko bhayam richhati.
In your own heart, through your intellect, you will always see me, the supreme effulgent, self-effulgent soul dwelling within the hearts of all living entities. Thus, you will achieve the state of eternal life, free from all lamentation and fear.
So, this particular verse is reconfirming what the Lord told Kardamuni before his descent in 21st chapter. He said, you will see me. You remember 3rd canto, 21st chapter, somewhere in 30s, 31 somewhere, Lord says, you will see all universes in me and you will see me in you. That means you will see Karanodak Sai Vishnu and you will also see Kshirodak Sai Vishnu, that we discussed in 3rd canto, 21st chapter. So, mam atmanam swayam jyotihi sarvabhuta guhasayam. You will be able to see me in every living entity. Means Kardamuni will be able to perceive the Lord in the hearts of every living entity. He will be able to see the connection between every living entity and the Lord. So that will happen. So Atman Yevatma na Viksha Vishoko Abhayam Richasi. And another thing, what did Kardamuni say about Lord's Prasada, Bhagavat Prasada, Abhayan Ashokan? Same thing is mentioned here. Abhayam and Vishoka. Vishoka, Ashoka, both are same. Freedom from fear and freedom from lamentation. So both are possible for you. You will be able to take. So Prabhupada elaborates on the word mam. Mam means personality of Godhead. That means there is a person. If one can see the personality of Godhead as he appears in different incarnations and understand that he has not assumed a material body but is present in his own eternal spiritual form, then one can understand the nature of the Lord. So when the Lord descends as an incarnation, there could be some confusion in the mind of people that is he an ordinary person? But Prabhupada says that confusion should not be there. You should see him as it is. He descends in his own spiritual form. Next, simply by seeing the form of the Lord, one can directly see Brahma Jyoti. Because Brahma Jyoti is no more than effulgence of his bodily luster. So, sometime back also we were discussing with milk cup example. So, realizing Bhagavan means that includes realization of Brahman and Paramatma. His partial realization is also there, his effulgence is also there. That same point Prabhupada makes. He gives the example of sunshine. If you see the sun planet, automatically one sees the sunshine also. So, Vishokam Abhayam Richasi. Simply by seeing the personality of Godhead, one realizes everything and the result is that one becomes situated on the platform where there is no lamentation and no fear. విశోకాన్ అభయాన్. 40th వర్స్. మాత్ర ఆధ్యాత్మికీం విద్యాం శమనీం సర్వకర్మణాం వితరిష్యేయయా చాసౌ భయం చాతితరిష్యతి.
I shall also describe this sublime knowledge, which is the door to spiritual life, to my mother, so that she can also attain perfection and self-realization, ending all reactions to fruitive activities. Thus, she will also be freed from all material fear.
So, the Lord, Kapila Dev, is assuring Kardama Muni that you will be freed from fear and lamentation, and you will be able to realize me. But Kardama Muni may ask, what about wife? What about Devahuti? So, when he is leaving the house, definitely he must be having some anxiety for the welfare, spiritual welfare of his devoted wife also. So, the Lord is reassuring Kardama Muni that don't worry about your wife. So, she is my mother. I will enlighten her in this Sankhya philosophy. She will also get Abhayam. She will also get this Bhagavat Prasada. She will also get freedom from fear. So, like that, the Lord reassured. So, Kardama Muni must be anxious about his wife. Lord is saying that. A sannyasi is not supposed to take his wife with him. So, a vanaprastha may take his wife along with him, but just to assist him in certain services, but not exactly having sexual relations. But a sannyasi should not take his wife. So, Kardama Muni is about to take sannyasa, so he is not taking Devahuti along with him. But he is leaving Devahuti in the care of a very efficient son who can enlighten her. So far we have seen the Supreme Lord's reply to Kardama Muni from 35th verse till now. In the 35th verse, Lord said, whatever I speak is authoritative, right? And I told you before that I will become your son, I have become your son. Then 36th verse. He said, I have actually descended in your house to propagate this Sankhya philosophy, to teach this Sankhya philosophy. 37th verse, he said, the Sankhya philosophy was there, but it was lost in due course of time. I descended exactly to re-establish it, reintroduce it in the human society. 38th verse, he said, now I am sanctioning your departure. As you wish, you can go take the renounced order. And what will happen to you? 39. You will have Abhayam and Ashokam, you will be able to realize me. And what happens to your wife Devahuti? She will also be enlightened by me. So like that, Lord reassured in 6 verses. So the flow is clear, right, from the beginning of the chapter till now. Now 41st verse, Maitreya is continuing.
Maitreya uvacha evam samuditastena kapilena prajapatihim దక్షిణీకృత్య తం ప్రీతో వనమేవ జగామః.
శ్రీ మైత్రేయ సెడ్, దస్ వెన్ కర్దమ ముని ద ప్రోజెనిటర్ ఆఫ్ హ్యూమన్ సొసైటీ వాజ్ స్పోకన్ టు ఇన్ ఫుల్నెస్ బై హిస్ సన్ కపిల, హీ సర్కమ్ అంబులేటెడ్ హిమ్ అండ్ విత్ అ గుడ్ పాసిఫైడ్ మైండ్ హీ అట్ వన్స్ లెఫ్ట్ ఫర్ ద ఫారెస్ట్.
So Kardama Muni circumambulated Kapila and he left for the forest. So Prabhupada catches that word. Vanam eva jagamaha. He went to vana. Prabhupada immediately remembers Prahlad Maharaj. What did Prahlad Maharaj tell Hiranyakashipu? Prabhupada quotes all that. Tat sadhumanye asuravarya dehinam sada samudvigna vigna dhiyam asadgrihat hitvatma padam grahamandhakupam vanam gatoya dharimashrayeta. One has to give up this materialistic household life, which is like a blind well. And Prabhupada graphically describes blind well. A blind well is there. Everything is dark. Someone falls into it. Even if he cries out so much, nobody will come to rescue him. And he has no means to come out of that well. Well is so deep. And what will happen? Death. It is sure that if one goes into blind well, only death will happen. So materialistic household life is like that blind well. So when Prahlad Maharaj was called by Hiranyakashipu and he was asked, my dear child, what did you learn in your school? Just tell something, speak something, I will relish your broken words. Actually, Hiranyakashipu was not expecting anything practical. A small child, 5-year-old child, what he will speak. But he may not be speaking practically, but he will speak something sweet, I'll hear. But he dropped a big bomb only, Prahlad Maharaj. Tat sadhumanye asuravarya dehinam. Oh, asuravarya, what I consider the best is leaving your house and going to Vrindavan. Right? Asuravarya dehinam. Sada samudvigna dhyam asadgrahat. So asadgrahat means getting absorbed in false enjoyments of life. Asadgrahat can also mean getting caught up in crocodile's jaws. So materialistic household life is getting caught up in crocodile's jaws. It's very difficult to come out. Even for an elephant like Gajendra also it was difficult to come out. So sada samudvigna dhyam, because they are in the jaws of crocodile, they are constantly in anxiety. Sada samudvigna dhyam asadgrahat hitva atmapatam. Remove this soul degrading life and go into vanam. Vanam gatoyad harim ashrayeta. And after going to vana, what you will do? Accept the shelter of Lord Hari. Harim ashrayeta. Otherwise just leaving one's comfortable position in the city and entering the forest does not mean anything. Forest does not belong to him and palace does not belong to him. Just by changing one's residential place from palace to forest does not make one renunciant. What is actual renunciation? Giving up one's false possessive mentality. So, hitvatmapatam grahamandhakupam vanam hadgatoyat harimashrayata. So, otherwise forest is a place only for monkeys and wild animals. So one should not go to forest to become a monkey or a cruel animal. So Prabhupada writes like that. So at present, it is not advisable for a man who has spent all his life along in big cities. So going to the forest is mentioned here. But in Kardama Muni's case, it was true and it was practical. But in the modern days, just leaving home and going to the forest may not be very practical. So Prabhupada says, one should not remain always engaged in the responsibilities of family life without Krishna consciousness. If it is without Krishna consciousness, family life is like blind well. Similarly, those who are forgetful of their eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord are in the blind well of family life. So they should lead a life of Krishna consciousness. 42nd verse. Vratam sa asthito maunam आत्मैक शरणो मुनिः निस्संगो व्यचरत् क्षोणीम् अनग्निर् अनिकेतनः.
The sage Kardama accepted silence as a vow in order to think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and take shelter of Him exclusively. Without association, he travelled over the surface of the globe as a sannyasi, devoid of any relationship with fire or shelter.
So how exactly Kardamamuni conducted his life after retirement is explained from 41 till the end of the chapter. 41st verse we have seen, he went to the forest. 42nd verse is more elaborately describing his life as a renunciant. Vratam sa asthito maunam. So Kardamamuni has accepted this maunam, silence. So Prabhupada writes, what exactly is silence? Silence means not speaking anything nonsensical. If at all there is a need to speak, one has to speak about Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, unnecessarily indulging in some gossip or something non-Krishna conscious is not recommended. That maunam exactly means that. So depending completely on the Lord. Next, Atmaika Sharano Munihi. So Atmaika Sharana means he has taken exclusive shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead alone, nothing else. Here, Atma means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You remember the coconut example yesterday I gave? Coconut pulp, coconut covering, coconut fiber, coconut shell, coconut water. So here Atma means the Supreme Lord. In some other context, Atma can mean soul. In some other context, Atma can mean mind or body, like that. So Atmaika Sharano Munihi. Nissango, freedom from detachment. Then Vyacharat Kshonim, he travelled all over the earth. Next, Asang Anagnir Aniketanaha. These two are important. Anagni, what is this word Anagni? He is not in touch with fire. Because fire is used to conduct sacrifices. Fire is used to cook. A renounced personality, a sannyasi, need not do both. A householder may do sacrifices, but a renounced sannyasi need not be engaged in conducting so many sacrifices for the pleasure of demigods or whatever. So kings do sacrifices. So he is beyond that sacrifice thing, and he need not cook also. He should not cook. So that's why anagni word is used. Next, aniketanaha. Niketana means a residence. Aniketana means no residence. So Kardamani is not living at a home. So these are the various ways in which he has taken shelter. So aniketana means without shelter, but he has shelter. Atmaika sharanam. Atmaika sharanam aniketanaha. Both are like opposite. He has no material shelter of a house, but he has exclusive shelter of the Supreme Lord. So silence means being very grave and not talking nonsense like that. So Prabhupada also briefly mentions about the 18 processes for attaining knowledge and perfection, which is described in Bhagavad Gita. Amanitvam, Adambitvam, Ahimsa, Kshantirarjavam, that thing. Next verse, 43. Mano Brahmani yunjato yunjano yattat sadasada param gunavabhase viguna yeka bhaktyanu bhavite.
He fixed his mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Parabrahman, who is beyond cause and effect, who manifests the three modes of material nature, who is beyond those three modes, and who is perceived only through unfailing devotional service.
So the Lord, Kardamuni, is very absorbed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was fixed upon the Supreme Lord. Here these words are important. Gunava bhase. The Lord manifests the material modes. And next line is viguna. He is beyond the influence of gunas. So gunava bhase means he originates the functionings of material modes. But viguna, he himself is not influenced by those modes. So gunava bhase vibhuna. Viguna eka bhaktyanu bhavite. With exclusive, eka bhaktya. With exclusive, one-pointed devotion towards the Lord. Kardamuni was worshipping him. So the devotee, three things are needed in the process of devotional service. Bhakti, bhakta and bhagavan. So the process of bhakti is offered by a bhakta to bhagavan. All three should be there. So sagunan samati ityaitan. So Lord is beyond the modes. Although he is gunava bhase, he is beyond modes. He is viguna. By the empowerment of the Lord, a devotee is also sagunan samati ityaitan. He is beyond the modes. Etad ishanamishasya prakriti stopitad gunaihi na yujyate sadatmasthair yatha buddhi tadashraya. This is the divinity of the Lord. So although he is in touch with the material modes, he originates the functionings of the material modes, still he is never influenced by the modes. Same is the case with devotees. So devotees are also not influenced by modes. 44th verse. Nirahankritir nirmamascha nirdvandvaha samadruk svadruk pratyak prashanta dhir dhiraha prashantormir ivodhitaha ivodadihi.
Ivodadi. Thus he gradually became unaffected by the false ego of material identity and became free from material affection. Undisturbed, equal to everyone and without duality, he could indeed see himself also. His mind was turned inward and was perfectly calm like an ocean unagitated by waves.
So, nirahankritir nirmamascha. Many other qualities exhibited by Kardama Muni as a renunciant are described in this verse. Nirahankritir, no false ego. Nirmamaha, no possessiveness. Mama, this is mine. So, that kind of attitude he does not have. Nirdvandvaha, he is freed from duality. Samadruk, he has equanimity, equal vision. Next, Svadruk, he sees himself. Pratyak prashantam. Pratyak means he is inward, turned inward. Prashanta is very composed. Prashanta dihi, his mind is very composed. Then dhiraha, very sober, undisturbed. So like that, Various qualities are exhibited by Kardama Muni in his renounced life. When one's mind is in full Krishna consciousness and one fully engages in desiring devotional service, he becomes just like an ocean unagitated by waves. Now, ocean is very much appreciated for its gravity. So many rivers will come and meet the ocean, and so many objects will come, still ocean is not agitated by all of it. So, and the depths of the ocean are very grave. So that's why a devotee's mind, who is very much absorbed in Krishna consciousness, is sometimes compared to the grave ocean. In the 11th canto, in Uddhava Gita, there is one episode called 24 Gurus. So these 24 Gurus are nothing but various natural elements, some birds, some beasts, earth, water, fire, air, ether. So all these are 24 Gurus. So when Avadhut Brahman travels everywhere, he sees one object and he learns various lessons. He sees fire, he has lessons. He sees ocean, he takes lessons. So like that, just by using some little common sense and intelligence, devotees can learn so many lessons from various natural phenomena and equip themselves with Krishna conscious knowledge. But to gather knowledge from natural phenomena means that also needs some reference point, then it needs some basic training. So this incident was described 5000 years ago by Krishna, but in the modern context also it is relevant in the sense that we can learn from nature, but we should have a reference point. Some basic training is needed. Thus he realizes his own self without false identification with matter and without affection for material possessions. So Prabhupada elaborates on all these qualities. 45th verse. Vasudeve Bhagavati Sarvagne Pratyagatmani Parena Bhakti Bhavena Labdhatma Mukta Bandhana.
He thus became liberated from conditioned life and became self-situated in transcendental devotional service to the personality of Godhead Vasudeva, the omniscient super soul within everyone.
So he became liberated. So sarvagne pratyagatmani parena bhakti bhavena labdhatma. Labdhatma is the word. He became situated in oneself. That is self-realization. So Prabhupada simplifies. He says, when the individual soul realizes his subordinate position as a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is called self-realization. That is called labdhatma. That is the actual explanation for what Kardama Muni went through. And to think that oneself is equal to the Supreme Lord and not the servant of the Supreme Lord, that is the last snare of Maya. Maya will convince a conditioned soul to think that you are God. So he also did parabhakti. If one has any identification with material things and executes devotional service for attainment of material gain, that is called viddha bhakti. Bhakti done for material gain is viddha bhakti, and bhakti which is uncontaminated by any material pursuits is called parabhakti. So what Kardama Muni was doing is parabhakti. So last paragraph, Prabhupada says, I may forget, but he awards me suffering or enjoyment for the misdeeds or good deeds of my past life. One should not think that he is freed from reaction because he has forgotten the actions of his past life. Somebody may do so many activities, he may forget, but Lord will not forget. He will safely deliver that reaction to him. This is what you deserve for what all you have done. Even if he has done it in the previous life or 10 lives before, he will get that reaction now. Because Lord is the constant witness of every single action of every single living entity. He is witness and he is also judge. So now generally in a court, judge is sitting there and witness is here. But Lord is both. He witnesses and he sanctions. Even if someone has bad desires, bad inclinations to perform some activities, Lord sanctions those activities. And he witnesses those activities. And he gives results of those activities also. He judges them. So that, like that, Lord is everything. Next, 46th verse. So here Parabhakti, Vidya Bhakti is mentioned. In the third canto, Lord Kapila explains in the 29th chapter, Bhakti in various modes. So Bhakti can never be influenced by modes. It is not that Bhakti is in modes. The practitioner of Bhakti performs Bhakti in certain mode. That's why there are Guni Bhakti. There are Bhaktis of different types. Bhakti in mode of goodness, Bhakti in mode of passion, Bhakti in mode of ignorance will exist only according to the classification of practitioner. So there we will see more. 46th verse.
Atmanam sarva bhuteshu bhagavantam avasthitam apashyat sarva bhutani bhagavatyapi chatmani.
He began to see that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is seated in everyone's heart. And
you can see 3.21.31 now. What did Lord predict? 3.21.31. When Kardamuni did austerities, Lord came in front of him. He said, showing compassion to all living entities, you will attain self-realization. Giving assurance of safety to all, you will perceive your own self as well as all the universes in me and myself in you. Same thing he is saying, doing now. He is seated in everyone's heart and everyone is existing on him. Lord seated in everyone's heart means he is Kshirodaka Sai Vishnu. And everyone is existing on him means he is Mahavishnu, Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. He sees first Purusha and third Purusha. Same thing Vishnu Chakratagar explained there also. So seeing all universes in me means what Yashodamai did. And seeing myself in you means what Gopis did. So Gopis saw the Supreme Lord Krishna in themselves. So that examples are given. So that everyone is existing on the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not mean everyone is God. Again, Prabhupada, wherever there is an opportunity, he clarifies, Jiva is different from God. Never think that you can become God. The neophyte devotee does not understand the techniques of devotional service, but simply offers devotional service to the deity in temple. So Prabhupada briefly mentions about Kanishta, Madhyama and Uttama in this purport. Last verse. Ichchadvesha vihinena sarvatra samasetchetasa bhagavad bhakti yuktena prapta bhagavati gatihi.
Free from all hatred and desire, Kardam Muni, being equal to everyone because of discharging uncontaminated devotional service, ultimately attained the path back to Godhead.
So ultimately he went back to Godhead. Ichha dvesha vihinena. He has given up all kinds of hatred or desire. No desire to enjoy here, no hatred towards anyone who is enjoying. So he just went back to Godhead. So this is the story of a great devotee, Kardama Muni. In the last 2.5 days, we have discussed how Kardama Muni appeared from Brahmaji and he received an instruction from Brahma to create progeny. He performed austerities for 10,000 years and Lord manifested in front of him. Lord said, you can marry Devahuti, the daughter of Swayambhu Manu. And Manu came and offered his daughter. There was a nice conversation between Manu and Kardama about the glories of Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. And there is another conversation between Manu and Kardama about their reasons why this marriage should take place. And later marriage took place. And Devahuti very wonderfully in an exemplary way served her husband. And her qualities can be imbibed by all disciples who are aspiring to serve their spiritual masters. And also we have seen how Kardama Muni was pleased by her service and was ready to offer her all the spiritual results that he has attained by his practices. And Devahuti requested for children. And Kardama Muni created an aerial mansion and revived her emaciated body. They went, they were enjoying at various places, and finally she received 9 daughters. All these 9 daughters were married to 9 sages upon the instruction of Brahma. And they were, Devahuti was lamenting when Kardama Muni was about to leave after the birth of these 9 daughters. So Devahuti said, my association with you should not be going into vain. So please give me abhayam in the form of a son who can enlighten me on spiritual matters. Then Kardama Muni stayed back, and after a few years they got a son, Kapiladev. and entire universe was celebrating the jubilation of the birth of Kapila, and Lord Brahma personally came to Kardama and appreciated the wonderful service that rendered by Kardama and Devahuti, and instructed him to get their daughters married and predicted the future activities of Kapila. So Kardamani got his daughters married, and after some time he was about to depart. So before departing, he offered beautiful prayers to Lord Kapila and took permission from him to retire. And Lord Kapila gave him instructions and told him, you can retire. So after retirement, he led his life in pure devotional service and finally went back to Godhead. Thank you all very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.